audio that we'll take care of, and I know Eric and she'll be here in a minute. So I'd like to call the March 2nd, 2020 Daniel Town Council meeting to order. As we usually do, we always begin with any public comment that might not be on the issue on the agenda this evening. Seeing there's not too many people and two people here I know that are going to talk about, we'll move on. So we'll put Daniel Irrigation, I don't see them here. There was going to be some discussion on interlocal agreement with Daniel Irrigation that has not gotten any further than last meeting. So we'll move that item. Well, not here. There's nothing to address it. Is that council have any discussion on that before I move on to the next item?
No, not yet.
Okay. So that will item number two. Item number three, public hearing with Stormhaven Code on sewer standards, collection, boxes, and rates. The chair will entertain a motion to go into public hearing and go out of our public.
I make a motion to go into public hearing and go out of the regular council meeting.
You have a motion to go into public hearing? Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are now in public hearing and for Stormhaven. I'll turn the time over to Casey. I know he's got some few words to, a few things to share with us, and just full name for the record as you get up there.
My name is Casey Bateman. I'm a resident of Stormhaven. We had a great meeting. We had a pretty good turnout for the community up there, going over the issues that was presented last meeting. We have hopefully came to kind of to help you guys out instead of putting the burden upon you. We kind of took it upon ourselves and try to lay out some ideas possibly to work with the town on this. We know the burden is going to lay upon us anyway, so if it's going to come out of our pockets, might as well just kind of hit it head on and see what we can do. We can get a kind of a going forward plan from here on out. Some of the notes that was taken was, in general, I don't think that there's one person in charge of a septic, because everybody is technically in Daniel on their own. But up here, having a community one, I don't know if that falls underneath the water, if Gary's taking kind of control of that, or who.
So he's who's handled any of the pumping and those issues.
Yes.
Gary's definitely handled.
Okay. So if that's our kind of our go-to guy, I was just going to say we have some ideas to lay out kind of a preventative program for up there, along with what we had discussed about the issue of contaminants and stuff going into the tanks that aren't supposed to be there. We all came to the same conclusion that certain things aren't supposed to be in there, and we know it, and hopefully we can get the other citizens that are renting up there on the same page, because just doesn't seem like they're going to be feeling the burden like us, since we own the residence. We're working with those owners of those rentals to make sure that they're in place and they're stressing to their clients that they need to be aware that they're on a septic system. The $3,000 on the last pump out, we understand that was over Christmas, and that was why it was so high. Kind of bring us to the idea of doing the same as what we were doing before with the water, where in October and April we bring all of our water people up to compliance if they're past due on their rebuild. If we can do that same time frame kind of on the tank, where we would look at it as in October we do an assessment of the tanks and verify if they can be pumped ahead of schedule, or if we're still good and the bacteria content's good and it's breaking down the solid waste. I think that would be kind of beneficial for us as the citizens up there to be able to either get it pumped before winter hits, before we have any issues, if it's need be. And in April, then it'll be an assessment of, you know, how it's looking at that point in time going forward in the summer.
So my understanding there, so we typically pump that once a year, but we've had some backups that we're pumping it while we do the backup, or as much as we can for a full tank, right? Is that kind of your understanding as well?
Yeah, that's coming up here. Okay. We're just kind of thinking about, you know, getting just a platform to build from, just kind of a guideline, giving us something to say that, you know, we're checking the tank on a regular basis, instead of just all of a sudden we're having an issue or backup. Looking into an interlocal agreement with like Heber City or Wasatch County. We have an interlocal agreement for the snow removal, fire protection, or fire and sheriff. Hoping that maybe, we had a gentleman there at the last meeting that was from Heber City that works in their sewer district, and he said that they do have all the equipment that could do it. And he says he's not talking for them, but he says that they'd probably be willing to work with us on that, seeing as that we are the only ones up here that have a separate system like that, and they do have the ability.
So the county also has that. I hear that they've offered their truck if they can. It's just, I guess if you use it, it's going to shop, and then you get to use it when it's out, and you go to the shop. So if it's available, okay, they would be able to help as well.
And do we need a contract with them?
It probably need to put it into the, because right now that is not in our local agreement that we currently have, and that would probably have to be added in discussion.
So that could work out really well with that scheduled maintenance in October if there is that system. And then also the repairs, I guess that there is one serious issue, as I think Ryan stated, that there's a, I don't know if it's a separation, but it's a pipe. It's no longer level, it's either separating or been crushed or something. What we're proposing is a $16 increase on our rates. And that'll put us up to a $12,096 from $8,640, and that would cover four pump outs a year if need be. So that's kind of our worst case scenario. And then from there, we're hoping with our planning and that we can prevent those four pump outs from happening if we're diligent and doing our part. So those funds can increase and we can address that separation first. And talking with LGM Construction, we'd like to see if maybe he can give us a bid on that. And I know that I would like to donate some time to that and keep that bill down. You know, we can do that repair first and get a good line going all the way to that tank. And then we can have it scoped. And when we have a scope, we'd like to have a mark on the road as they go. If there's a belly, we'll mark them out, get GPS locations of those points where the next series are, and then address those as we get revenue to take care of those. And then work into the schedule a possible leach field overhaul, if we can do maybe half the leach field in 1 year, and then do another half. And then I was talking with some guys that were saying a possibility of, if the leach field is put in properly, that you could access the ends that are capped, and then you could come through with a jetter and actually clean out the sediment that's in them if the substrate is still good, if it's not filled with silt, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, perforations.
Mm-hmm. And just doing some preventative like that to get us through. I think we're looking probably close to 10 years before they'll have that sewer system ran from Heber all the way up the highway that we'll be forced to look into anyways at that point in time.
Did you get any info from anybody about that time? Just curious.
Just knowing that they ran just past the trailer park now with the fire hydrants and the water. It's going to be just a matter of time as they develop that out. Pretty sure it's going to be.
And then that is going to be up to.
Yeah.
Soon.
And that's all commercial on that frontage right there by the port of entry. So. Are there any impact fees in place for, I think that we, I kind of covered that with you with the moratorium. There is a moratorium in place for any other new hookups that are on there. So if there was an existing place, then you'd be fine. But if it's
And correct me, we kind of had a discussion at the very beginning as far as the moratorium on any new hookups. There is not, there may be some hookups that are already existing that we.
If their bill's current, then maybe, but we have several lots that there's no sewer hookup and nobody's been paying a bill. And so that would constitute a new hookup, which is against the law at this point. We can't do it. So they don't allow those systems at all,
yeah.
So they increase it.
Well, that guy from Heber said that he talked to Robert Beers. He says that they actually are doing some of those community sessions. septics in situations that he was going to pull our stuff, pull our septic and take a look at and see if there's something that he can do on the state side. But yeah, he said there's still a few of those going in. And I was like, well, maybe it's just because of our location by the creek. He was at the water meeting down in St. George. And then just looking into that preventative schedule maintenance, I don't know if Gary needs hand with that. I would like to offer my services on that if he needs that. Just kind of being a good caretaker of it, watching the tanks, and taking care of the one big break first, and then marking the bellies and other spots that could be an issue in the future. I don't know, as we take in the impact fees from developing in there, developing in Daniels, does Daniels impact fees, can they affect us? Or can we get any revenue from that? Or is that just going to be on like roads and other water services?
So the impact fees that we collect have to be used in the neighborhood that they're collected from.
Okay.
We're not able to take them across town.
Okay.
State law.
Across utilities. So we don't have a sewer impact fee, we've got a water impact fee.
And we don't even have a sewer impact fee.
And so we can't use water impact fees for anything other than water. Well, we can, but then we get in a lot of trouble.
And then I think last one was understanding the bill was high because of that pump out time. And if we can get into an interlocal agreement, it was $50 per 1,000 gallons dumped at the sewer plant here in the county. Just seeing if we can get some bids, possibly from some other pumpers, to keep that cost down for us. I know it was an emergency last time, so but it would be nice to maybe get into a schedule with somebody that we approve and say, hey, you can put a rate for us.
And it looks like you had a good, effective meeting.
I think so. I think we had, I mean, almost all the owners turned out.
Great.
Yeah, I think we were lacking two or three. So.
The renters.
Anybody have any questions for Casey or any other additions they'd like to add from the public? Anything from council? Do you have something you can give us for what you for the items?
I'll give you my notes.
Well, I just want to make sure we either address or look at them as we hear the next little while.
So that was the price increase right there at the top.
I'll give you Gino Gore that way. I don't
okay.
Sounds good. So 16, but that's what you've come up with?
Yeah.
Cover the bump? Is that
yeah.
Correct, Eric?
Yeah. Thank you, Casey. Okay. No discussion. The chair will entertain a motion to come out of public hearing and go back into regular session.
So moved.
You got a first?
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. We're out of public hearing for sewer standards, and we're back into regular session. That takes care of item number three. Next, item two was the interlocal agreement with Dan Irrigation, which is kind of came and went real quick before you sat down. And so there were no representatives here, so we're going to address.
Oh, I didn't hear back anything from the council either. So did everybody get their copy I sent out?
Yeah. So no discussion up here because there's nothing to discuss, apparently.
Okay.
Item number four, we've had two, we've continued the public hearing for the last couple of months. We continued from last month, so Chair will entertain a motion to go into that public hearing to continue or to wrap up the gun sanctuary. So I entertain a motion to go into public hearing.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're now in a public hearing on gun sanctuary. And is there any comments from the town, or anybody have anything they'd like to add to that? Council? Anything that they'd like to add? I think we checked with the folks that we were asked to check with and got approval from both the Sheriff's Department and the county's doing similar things, so.
Do we know where the county is with their planning to do? We don't yet. I would certainly like to coordinate with them and, you know, hopefully do this as the entire county. I don't know if that's possible or not, but...
I was hoping to pass it tonight because the sheriff's already said it looks great and gave us a green light to pass it. Whether what the county does or doesn't, they're a different entity, and I don't know that that would, any entity would really affect us one way or the other, since we don't have any necessarily ties with that. So I would entertain a motion to move on to, excuse me, to either move a comment for public hearing or to close and go into a regular session.
Anybody have any thoughts out there? No opinions?
I think it's great.
Okay.
Other than making our own militia for the town of Daniel.
I've got nothing but those kind of...
That's what I figured. I better just hold my tongue and we'll just go with this for now.
Did you have a chance to read through it, anybody? It's mostly just a statement about the Second Amendment and how we wouldn't do anything to interfere with gun ownership in the town. Is that a correct statement?
That would be pretty basic and correct. I mean, that's why I kind of made the comment whether the county said something a little different or not. Spent some time and looked at it and had public hearings on, I think is a great document.
And you talked to the sheriff and he's in support of it.
He did, yep, yeah. Two times.
I suspect that if the county does do it, they would probably appreciate every municipality doing something like this, so.
And I did have a discussion, I will be passing this, you know, like if they want to look at the camp, but I will send it to them, both to the sheriff, just so they have it on file. Let's go back into regular session, or do we come out of public hearing? Yeah, we need to come out of public hearing and go back into regular session.
I make a motion to come out of the public hearing and go back into regular session.
You have a motion?
And a second.
And a second. Any discussion? Not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Back in regular session. Council, chair will entertain a motion to pass the resolution, which would be dated DR 2020-03-04A.
I make a motion to pass Daniel Municipal Resolution DR 2020-03-04A.
It's actually 02, I think.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
0204.
0204.
Sorry.
What are the numbers again?
DR 2020-02-04A.
Today is March 2nd.
0302.
So 03.
So 4.
03.
Yep.
March.
There we go.
2nd.
There we go.
Letter A.
We'll get it right here.
I wrote the 3 in the wrong column. Won't be the first time.
Do you want me to start over?
Yeah, just repeat that. Sorry.
I'd like to make a motion to pass Daniel Municipal Resolution DR 2020-03-02.
A.
A.
You have a motion? You have a second?
Second.
You have a motion and a second. Any last discussion on it?
I did send this to the county. They have this, and I told them they could take whatever they wanted out for theirs. I sent it to Kendall, so they have.
I know that discussion had come up. I did thought they had it, though. Okay. Discussion? Do we have a first and a second on it? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. I'll read it. Never get my third. It's a long one. Number DR 2020-03-02A. Short title resolution adopting the town as a gun sanctuary. The purpose of this resolution adopts the Second Amendment sanctuary known as a town gun sanctuary. Resolution, a resolution declaring Town of Daniel, Utah, a gun sanctuary municipality. On behalf of the citizens of the Town of Daniel, Utah, the Daniel Town Council state and accept as true the following. The Declaration of Independence states that people are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. John Adams wrote in 1A dissertation on the canon and feudal law, 1765, I say rights, for such they, the people, have undoubtedly, antecedent to all earthly government rights that cannot be repealed or restrained by human laws, rights derived from the great legislature of the universe. Natural law rights given to each of us by our Creator are the basis of our Constitution by which they are protected and secured to each of us. Natural law rights, including that of self-protection, are guaranteed by our laws, our history, and our traditions. It is the natural tendency of civil government to expand beyond the limits of its rightful constitutional authority and to usurp powers which have not been given to it through the delegated consent of the governed. Whenever the uses of government are perverted, individuals' sovereignty is overtly endangered or threatened, and all other means of readiness are ineffective. The people may, and in effect ought to, force the reestablishment of the original constitutional limits of government. Resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is the obligation of every patriot, as not to do so is destructive to the good and happiness of mankind. In fact, it is the duty of the people of Danieltown, through the actions of their less magistrates, namely local elected officials, to challenge the civil government when and where it exceeds or threatens to exceed its bounds. 37. The Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of our nation. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The U.S. Supreme Court found in Miranda versus Arizona in 1966 stated that where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rule making or legislation which would abrogate them. The U.S. Supreme Court in the District of Columbia versus Heller, 2008, decision affirmed that the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is not connected to any way to service in a militia. The U.S. Supreme Court in the United States versus Miller, 1939, stated that firearms that are part of ordinary military equipment with use that could contribute to the common defense or protected by the Second Amendment. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, Section 1, states, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The U.S. Supreme Court in the McDonald versus City of Chicago 2010 decision affirmed that a person's Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is further secured by the due process and the privileges and immunities clause of the 14th Amendment. The decision also protected rights closely related to the Second Amendment, namely the right to manufacture, transfer, purchase, and sell firearms, accessories, and ammunition. The Utah State Constitution, Article 1, Section 6 states, the people have the right to bear arms for their security and defenses. 15, the Utah State Constitution, Article 1, Section 14 states the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be validated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Number 16, the State of Utah Constitution, Article 1, Section 7 states, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. 17, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America states, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states representatively or to the people. The U.S. Supreme Court found in Prinz versus United States in 1997 that the federal government cannot compel law enforcement officers of the state, of the states to enforce federal laws as it would increase the power of the federal government far beyond that which the Constitution intends. Therefore, the people of the town of Daniel, Utah, through their duly elected officials in the town of Daniel, resolve that the town of Daniel, Utah, is hereby designated as a gun sanctuary town in order to preserve for the people of, on, and in the town of Daniel, one, the unalienable right to keep and bear arms as specified in the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution of Utah, and further upheld by subsequent decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. Number two, the right as originally written and understood to keep and bear arms for self-defense, personal safety, protection of one's family, and in defense of one's community and country. The right to manufacture, transfer, purchase, and sell firearms and ammunition designed for those purposes outlined above, rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of Utah. Furthermore, any regulations of the right to keep and bear arms or affiliated firearms rights that violates the 2nd, 9th, 10th, or 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that violate the Utah Constitution, or that violate numerous related U.S. Supreme Court decisions, including those listed above, shall be regarded by the people of, on, or in the town of Daniel to be unconstitutional, a transgression of the supreme law of the land and a spirit of individual sovereignty, and therefore by necessity unenforceable and invalid from the outset. Moreover, the criminal misuse of firearms is due to the fact that criminals do not obey laws, and this is not a reason to abrogate or abridge the inalienable constitutionally guaranteed rights of law-abiding citizens. The last protector of the U.S. Constitution are we, the people of the United States, and our ability to fulfill that role successfully rests on our Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the town of Daniel government will not authorize or appropriate government funds, resources, employees, agencies, contractors, buildings, detention centers, or office for the purpose of enforcing or assisting in the enforcement of any element of such act, laws, orders, mandates, rules, or regulations that infringe on the right by the people to keep and bear arms as described and defined in detail above. That would be DR 2020-0302A. Read in entirety and passed as of March 2nd, 2020. Any questions?
Okay, you lost me on the second page. Can you start that over again?
I could have. My tongue got a little.
You should have asked each of us to read the section.
I thought of it, and I thought, I'll just get it off here.
That was a mouthful, wasn't
it? And we came in and out, so we are. Moving on to item number five, which is business licenses. I think we've got a few handed to us after hours, over the weekend, since the meeting agenda is produced. So, do you have a feel of merit?
The ones that were added on?
Yeah, just, you can name them. There haven't been any complaints either of any.
CCH2O, which is Brent and Mary Waterman. BMCI Electric, also Brent and Mary Waterman. Timberline Lubber and Distributing, Michael Ashby. Those are the add-ons.
And they were added to also one that we had on, which was Smitty Small Engine Repair, which we're already in. So I don't believe we have any complaints on those. Shall I take a motion to pass the business licenses as presented? We have a first.
I second it.
And a second. In discussion? Council? Republic? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Business license renewals passed. Item number six, which would be discussion of annual irrigation water shares. I don't know of any ones that came up since our last meeting. Anybody know of any items or shares? And we're always, once again, we're looking for them over the next years, and so if some are available, come to us and see see if it can work out. The council will approve a price, and sometimes the price fluctuates, and we're looking for it. And then item number seven, which would be Daniel Municipal Water. Shelley, you guys went to a water conference and had a busy, busy week, I think?
I'm great. I see how, that was a tough thing. It takes a month to find out if I pass them. I don't want to know. That was a lot of work. I appreciate going, and I'm just for the purposes of letting it out there. I guess I need to clarify, you know, because I'm getting a bit after I went, now I'm getting a lot of crap for people that I went and that town sent me. And they all think it's Eric's doing. And I just want to clarify that when I had my job interview, John Blotter was one who asked if I would be willing to go do this. And you guys, I've checked with you, you guys have agreed to it, you've done it. I just want to make sure that, you know, Eric has nothing to do with the water. I'm under you, I'm not under you.
You and I speak each week, or each time we talk, and I tell you to get educated as much as you can, and yep, we want you to make sure you go to whatever classes necessary to do your job properly.
And I appreciate that, because like I said, there's a lot to be learned. And, you know, I go through that class and I'm thinking, I really get worried. Are we doing this? You know, there's a lot that, the CCNRs are done. They are turned in. I sent them to Mary, and they are turned into the state. And then I got a little feedback that I wasn't supposed to be doing them, that that's TNO's job. And I was like, no, I've been doing them since I became the secretary. So there's a little miscommunication there. And then the backflow mill is all sent out. So that's taken care of, and we're not going to get fined other than I'll need to get the three backflow from the church, the schools, and the county offices. But I get them back. The only one I don't is the church, because I send it with the bill, but that's not who needs that information, and I don't know where else to send it. Right. So those are
all. Does that go to the FM group? Just curious.
The bill goes to Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder if you know anybody at that FM group, if you can get me names so I can let them know, because that's what was happening with the school district and everything else, is it's going to the guy who's paying the bills. And then I finally, you know, we was getting ready for the state calling me saying, where's your backflow? And I'm like, so I called and said, you're about to be shut off. And they're like, what? Oh, no. So now we have it, so I email them and let them know that every citizen in the town will be receiving one in their bill to remind them what the backflow is.
Good.
Okay, and like I said, it is online. The CCNRs are online. Well, there's something else I needed to... There's a little problem with the water, and I just don't know how to handle it. I'm getting calls from people saying that they bought water shares, that they bought water hookups. Now, I have no record of anybody's water hookups. I don't know where they are. So I kind of approached Gary, and it was kind of, well, some have. How do I go about finding who has? Because right now, I have no way of knowing, you know, anybody can come tell me, and I just have to say, okay. Where do we find these records?
That's a great question. I know it's been out there for about a month or two, or maybe 2 months or however. People are now getting to the point they want us to maybe utilize those shares. I think there are maybe three or four people that are maybe saying that.
Yeah.
And I never saw it. I just know what's going on. Mary hasn't seen any monies. I don't know that you ever saw monies. I don't think Lynn ever saw monies. I think she's aware that this is out there. Maybe she isn't. I can ask her as far as that goes. But I don't know. I mean,
the only one I know that
no people have their own records either
is Joy Sanderson. You know, I know. And Gary says he knows a couple, but when I ask him, you know, make me a list, he just tells me to pull out the records and look. I said, where are these records? I don't have them. I don't, you know. So that's kind of an issue that we're having. And then another issue is, he says, we have policies and procedures for the water company. Where are they? What are they? and where I am. Any clue?
By chance on that particular part, Ryan?
I know I have seen them, but I don't have a copy. So I guess I can help confirm they exist, but I don't know if I can answer the where they are question.
So do exist.
I'm sure they're in a box somewhere.
Okay. So a couple of things could be up at this, at the pump station, possibly. I know, I don't know if when Lynn left, if we ever took anything up there. I think everything went when you...
Did you pass anything after I left? There should have been a binder that had various things in it, certain policies. Yes, no. But there also should be a computer record under Dana Municipal Water, all of those things as well.
Okay.
And as far as the people that had hookups, keep a list of those names, and let's take a look at that. If it happened to buy those under Daniel Domestic, they should have had a certificate.
Yeah,
so and we tried
these
to
are apps.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, the only thing I could think to do is to go back in the financial records. Sherry, would you have?
I have
anything
something
like that.
Now. I looked in the ones at the office. I only went back in 2016.
Well, what I would want to know is dates. When
house.
Did you buy yeah. this, and how much did you pay?
I could research the bank.
They should have a check. A canceled check, something.
Yeah. I just see, like I said, you know,
something.
There's just things coming, but people coming to use them, and Gary's just like, well, these guys have it. Oh, this one doesn't. And I'm like, how do we know who has them and who doesn't? And I said, what if you quit tomorrow? How are we going to know?
Exactly.
Who has these?
Yeah.
We have to have this wrote down. Right. And he's like, find your records. And I'm like,
so they were all done. So as far as Daniel Domestic, before the town took over, I have no idea. But there was a slug right when Joyce Anderson bought hers. We had passed the new impact fee, and it had a 30-day or 60-day window. And in that window, there were a number of people who bought, you know, who paid at the old rate before the new impact fee took over. But it was all in that same window. So, and I don't remember the date, but we could go back and look it up. But it was all within that 60-day window is when everybody had.
But you have record of that.
So. I don't have records of it, but I could help narrow down when it happened. We were supposed to put it all in the GIS, and I don't think I ever got the table to do that. On Ranch Drive, for example, we have set a lot of meter setters, that meters aren't there, that haven't paid impact fees, and there's a note in the GIS that those have not been paid. But I don't, you know, I can narrow down the window that it happened, because there was no motivation to sign up before you needed the water,
yeah.
Right up until we doubled the impact fee or more.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, well, there's a slug of people that wanted to get in before that. And then since we've increased the impact fee, nobody's wanted to sign up till they need it. So it was all done in a 2-month window.
Yeah, because I mean, I've had somebody call and they say, oh, I have 5 hookups.
What?
But I'm like, yeah.
One person that has 5 hookups?
His dad has 2, and he has 3.
Who?
Five.
Oh, you're not going to say the name. Okay.
And, you know, and I've had a couple of those. And like I said, I don't know what you want me to do with them.
So
I can't
do anything.
Yeah,
on your
that's
own.
What I said. I'm like, you can come to the council, and they're like, well, we'll just talk to Gary. I said, go to Gary, but Gary needs to come to the council with this and see.
Well, what I suggest is that somebody research this and get the list accurate so that we can.
And then
forward
after everything I've heard, it's going to come down to a financial situation. It may be in the boxes at your house somewhere, but it will be in those 60 days. And I don't know specifically
the
pay, but I know.
I couldn't look now. I couldn't look until April, but I can check with the bank and I can find where I can find it.
I believe they're going to be like $5,000for the fee to do.
So question.
I was checking what I have at the office. I'd have to look at my house behind where the construction.
what records are still at the water tank?
I didn't
Has anybody, I know at, when I came into office 3 years ago, we talked about pulling all those records out and seeing what needed to be archived, what needed to be filed, etc. I don't believe that we've ever done that.
I was responsible
what
for
records?
Most of those up there, and mostly they're court records from all the lawsuits that we had. And also there's Daniel Domestic records when we took over, we did that. And also the major projects that we did, the water projects and also the culvert projects, those kinds of things, the CDBG records, those stuff.
Okay.
But I think that's
this issue
pretty
definitely
much
came after
that
those got stacked
right,
up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just sent some stuff up because those binders that you sent with all the old Chemtech things. I, they're labeled, and so I sent them up, because I don't have a place to store them at my house. But I labeled my box that I just sent up for last year. But, because that's why I asked Gary, what do you want me to do with this? And he's like, oh, I'll take it up there. So he came and picked up that. But what I got, there was nothing. I got the computer. I mean, I got the printer, you know, so I don't know.
So do you know?
I'm just worried that it needs to be taken care of.
It is. It's going to come up, those folks, and from this meeting, we'll just look to see if Sarah can dig it up. And if not, then we'll go to Plan C, which I'm not sure, but that's, after looking financially, that's where they're going to.
It's probably in the old QuickBooks desktop. I'm not sure we have access to it.
We'll try anyway, and we'll see if you do or don't have access.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they used to use for the water.
Okay.
If there was anything, but I could probably find in bank statements, et cetera, when I could give them.
Could they even say, I mean, somebody, do we know what month, I mean, it is a 60-day window roughly. I don't know what year, if it was 14, 15, 16, whatever, 16?
I can go back and look. I'm not going to pretend I remember back that far.
So one of the records that would have been with it would have been Bangor's, which they actually just used theirs. If I'm thinking the same window that you're talking about, that's.
Well, they bought theirs over a multi-year span.
So it wouldn't have been.
It would have been these three or four, or that maybe some of these, I don't know who's talking to Sherry or Shelley, but.
So you're keeping a record of all the people that claim that they have one?
Yeah, I document my, you know, when I talk to them on the phone, and then I just put it in the thing. But like I said, they're not, they've just, you know, told me that they have them. And I'm just like, where, you know. And then I asked Gary, and he's like, oh, no, there's no way they have that. But this one does. And I'm like, Gary, I need a list. Can you provide me something?
Quite an official list.
It just makes it look like I'm picking and choosing what can happen. And I don't want that. I want to know. So I think, other than that, I think everything's good. I think, like I said, conference is good. All the things are up to date. We did have some violations for chemicals. We knew they was coming because, and that's on Storm Haven. But we did get a lead and copper violation on Daniels. But other than that, and then I'm pursuing getting what you guys did, getting that tank, that fence permanently taken off. Every year I email them, take this off, and they just do it yearly. And then we get slammed with the points again. So they told me who to talk to for permanent getting it removed. So.
I've heard about 8 times it's been permanent.
I know. That's what I said. I says, Mary, and Mike Duggins took it off. I know Ryan's talked to him. I've talked to him. And
I apparently haven't filed the proper paperwork with the proper person.
I know. So we're hoping this name.
We've had signatures from the state saying we did.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, you're not alone. I've worked for some other water systems that have all filed the permanent paperwork exactly as they were told 3 or 4 times, and we're in the same boat. So it's a problem that they have.
Yep.
In the meantime, we do. And we did miss a lead and copper on the start when the well number 2 came online. They were supposed to get us our new testing protocols, and they didn't do that for a period of time. And then we missed the sample while they were getting us the sampling criteria. But that's still.
Are we back up? I mean,
we're back on track yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was just when everything was, you know, and they made them pull the power, and then they turned around and fined us because they wanted samples off that well. And we're like, this well isn't running. You just pulled the power. And they're like, we need samples. And when I go to the meeting, when I go to do the CCNRs, I have Eric help me because it's a short time frame. So I give him the hard Storm Haven. You take that. I'll take this one. And so he gets to go argue with them and tell them what needs to be done. And that's why he's like, no, it's off. Well, you've got to go hook it back up and get us a sample. And Eric's like, we're not hooking it back up. It's off.
According to them, it's not approved system, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's disconnected because they told us
they told
us to
do it.
That's what I told the lady. Tell me to do it. I'm sorry, yeah, it's not an approved system.
Yeah. We would love to hook it back up if they put that in writing. So anyway, and then to answer your CCNR questions, if you got it, that's great. In the past, TO did help, but if you got it, we're perfectly happy to help.
Well, that's what Amelia sent me a thing right before I got here, saying, I'm sorry. You know, and I just said I did backflow too.
so before you started, we did that, and so now that you've got it, that's great. We're just trying to keep things from falling through the cracks.
Yeah, perfect.
Good.
So like I said, there's no sense paying both of us to do it. You know.
So. Just one point of clarification: the CCNR that they're referring to is the Consumer Confidence Report. that the state requires every approved water system to file every year. And this is on file, it's on our website. But anyway, you can also request a copy of it if you want that. Anyway, it's designed to report any violations, any problems with the water system every year. So it's one of those things that ensures that you have a safe water system.
Case, did you have a question about an hour ago?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot an hour ago.
Did the town cut a receipt for when they purchased their share and then have them present their receipt? All the people that purchased a hookup should have got a receipt for their check or whatever they paid with. And at that point in time, they could just bring that receipt to you.
You'd think at home, I mean, probably worth a lot of money to have that receipt.
I believe there's some meeting minutes, because I know it was discussed after we passed the impact fee that, hey, there may be some people that want to connect. And then at the next meeting, I remember a discussion on how many people had paid, and was that a good thing or a bad thing? Was that, you know, they had paid less, anyway, we had a long discussion, but I think that number would be reflected in the minutes of whenever that meeting was. Which, between that and then the dates and the finances, at least narrows the window down to some manageable amount of searching.
I just am worried for some reason. There's a couple loose ends that need to get tightened.
And then what they're gonna do, they're gonna do a billing permit and end up at Eric's door, and then it's all gonna, hey, where's it at? So it would be nice for the council to get these ducks in a row for that.
Yeah.
We should be able to narrow that down looking at the ordinances when we adopt them.
If we look at the order, it'll be easy. I just, standing here tonight, I can't remember when that was other than while ago.
No idea.
Was you, Mary, able to find that question that I had asked her? If you've never found anything?
Not yet.
Okay. And then I just have the mayor's.
You just have to update that for us again.
Anything else that Ryan might be able to shed some light on?
All sorts of stuff.
With regards to Daniel Municipal Water, that is. Did anything else come up with Storm Haven besides that, or we can take care of both of those?
Yep, yeah, we took care of both of them. Like I said, everything got sent out, everything's good.
So we do have a little bit more on Storm Haven.
The building permit?
Yeah.
Okay. So we do have a building application for the 6-acre lot that's accessed off of Cove Lane. So the 6-acre build, Goodfellow's old property. Sorry, I never use people's old properties, but
here you are.
It worked. Here I am. It works.
Everyone knows the old property.
Yeah, otherwise known as, I think, 4611. But anyway, it's that 6-acre parcel that's. Might as well be part of the subdivision, but technically it's not part of the subdivision. They want to build a house in the middle of their lot, which is fine. It happens to be concurrent with where the water main goes through the field. And so they have asked if we would consider relocating that. And so they potholed it today to get some depth and locations. They didn't break the water line. Nobody's wanting to get shut up today. And they're working with us to figure out how they could possibly either relocate the house or relocate the water line. But they're...
I know
that will be coming.
Waterline, I need to locate at another residence I have. I have to pay 100%, and I just have to tell them what I'm going to do. And they're not helping me move 15-inch from the
water. They haven't asked us to help pay for it.
Oh.
They want to know if we can. We have an easement. We could say no. So, it's a work together, but I believe they haven't asked for us to pay for the relocation, just what we would allow. And so eventually, I imagine that we'll get to this group as to this is what we've negotiated. Does this sound agreeable?
Is there another easement on that property that this can be moved into?
Yes, there's a number of easements on that property. The discussion that Eric and I met out there and walked it yesterday, and the discussion we had is, and what traditionally happens, if you have an easement here and you want to move the water line, they relocate the water line and the easement moves. That's what Daniel Irrigation was here a couple months ago about their easement and their subdivision. You know, they're just moving from the middle of the field to the edge of the field. The developer pays all the costs. This is similar. And so what we would do is move it from the middle of the field to the edge, and then they would pay to move it, and then that would move our easement with it, and then they would be able to build what they wanted to build in the middle of the property. We've complicated that a little bit because we have future plans, and they're not going to be able to build everything that we want them to build. I don't think that that's fair. But right now it's a 4-inch main. We really want a 10 out of a different kind of pipe. I think it's a big ask for a single-family home to go from a 4-inch to a 10-inch and change the material. It would be wonderful, and I think they'd love to help us too, but it's, you know, just not in the cards to ask them to pay a whole lot. If we were subdividing it and they were building 20 homes, I think it would be a little different game of, you know, we could ask for a lot more. So the compromise that Eric and I have talked about when we were out there yesterday was allowing them to move the easement to where we wanted our line in the future, and then replacing a portion of the line that was closest to their house, and installing some airbags and valves so that we had, one, an easement where we wanted it in the future, and two, we had working valves and airbags, which have been an issue multiple times in the past. And so that hopefully that would put the system in a better place now and in the future, and then still allow them the use of the property.
We've done that in the past for others, haven't we, or something similar, or not extensive?
Yes, we have, and it's fairly common that if the developer, and I call them developers, are building one house, but if the developer wants to relocate the easement, as long as they pay the cost associated with that, and water still gets from point A to point B, that there's a history of, you know, that's fairly common. So we're not really breaking new ground. We are breaking new ground for the town, but not for the industry. That's fairly common.
No, I was up Blue Snake, and so I just had Ryan come up, and we were just looking at it. In that particular area, if we have what's called an airlock that happens there, and so until the folks across the highway turn on, it actually locks in there. So the top of it will hold air, so only as soon as it starts running over, that air is trapped until it can get out of that line. So this will help that right in that area.
As far as that up there, I mean, how would you even know where all that stuff was to even mark it?
Just wander around.
So they potholed today, and they said the marks were right on. So
not
good
bad.
Job, Derek.
There you go.
I think Kim and I dug that valve up out there a couple of years ago in the center of the field, so
yeah.
It was already exposed once.
Yeah. I wish they would open that line up.
Was it leaking, or just curious? Just...
The valve itself, they had a break in the line, and we ended up hatching.
There was a break in the line, and the valve wasn't working either.
Yeah,
so
we couldn't.
There was no way to shut it off. So when the system was down, they replaced the valve, as I remember.
There you go.
But this would be an opportunity to get a few more isolation valves, which would be a big improvement. Because right now, there's the one valve that was replaced. Other than that, if there's a break anywhere in the system, we shut the whole system off. Much the only option other than that one isolation valve we have. So it would be really nice to get a few isolation valves so that if one part of the system had a problem, we could potentially leave the majority or part of the customers up and running. It's the way the municipal system works, we can isolate different segments, and some people obviously are out of water, but the majority of the system is still up and running. It would be nice to get that closer to that, working that way.
Especially in dirt?
Especially if you can do it without our cost.
Well, that's something that obviously the guy's gonna have to deal with, and we'll have to look out.
So I think for now, just a heads up that's discussions underway, and eventually I assume that becomes an approval for this budget.
Great. Any other last questions with regards to Stormhaven or Danny Municipal or Stormhaven Water? We've got item number 9, approval of council meeting minutes for February 3rd, 2019. And I think there actually is some other minutes as well.
19.
Yeah, so it'll be Monday, February 3rd, and Wednesday, February 19th. We got a combined meeting, and we also have last month's meeting.
Yeah.
Council could either have looked at it or take a look at it. Prove each one separately or together.
Motion to approve February 3rd.
Second.
Motion to approve and a second on meeting minutes for February 3rd. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Approved for February 3rd. I'll also entertain a motion for February 19th.
I did have a question. Eric, in one set of minutes, we talked about we needed 600 acre feet of water and build out. And then, but in these minutes that we're just getting ready to look at, we said 300 acre feet. Is that an error or?
We believe the number 600 isn't right.
600.
600 to build out.
Okay, so this one says 300 acre feet. So, right here on the first page under discussion of acquisition of water shares.
I'll just correct that then. 600?
That's just an estimation, by the way.
Right, I understand. But I mean, like I say, in one place we said 600, and the second one we said 300. So, I just wanted to clarify that. So that's on the first page. With that, I make a motion to approve with that change, February 19, 2020 minutes.
Motion with the change for February 19th. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Do I have a second? Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And minutes for February 19th are also approved. Item number 10, reporter's office warrants approval, announcements, etc.
Hey, Comcast office phone 10531, DNA half dozen, office rent 200, Smith and Harbickson, general legal $2,899.35, Fabian Bancott for Schultz Federal $1,468.80, Postmaster for stamps 220, Wave Publishing for public hearing material for the meeting 1250, public hearing Storm Haven 4162, public hearing for Gun Sanctuary 37, Gilbert and Stewart for annual audit 3600, Staples for planning supplies 18444, Polaris for software and support 1000. Ryan, I did not get TO invoices for this month.
They're on my desk. I was at that conference all week.
Okay, well, just so everybody's aware.
So in advance, next month when they're bigger,
okay.
It's because they're 2 months.
Sure.
Total $9,769.02. Public Works for snow removal, LGM, 200. Wasatch County, this is for January, is $4,916.50. And then February, $1,791. Industrial supply for blue stake paint, $86.44. Total, $6,993.94. And then payroll for for council and then planning commission, total $17,596.46. Daniel Municipal, CenturyLink data charge $47.75. Heber Light and Power, $282.49. Again, no TO, no Chemtech. Payroll total is $890.24. Stormhaven, Dominion Energy, $908. Heber Light and Power, $187.11. SR Hansen Engineering, this is for wastewater inspection, annual, $400. Chemtech Ford, $4. Actually, there shouldn't be engineering or sampling.
Strike that.
Yeah, those should not be in there because there was no TO billing. Sorry.
So, little questions. What is the CC that you have in the right hand column? What's
that's
that?
Credit cards. So, when Sherry goes through, she knows that those were credit card charges, not to make checks for.
And the Polaris software support, is that just one time every year? $1,000?
I can't remember if it's annual.
It's okay, just curious.
I can't remember if it's annual or semi-annual, or I can't remember how often it's billed.
It's everything?
Yep. Oh, no, my bad. So Gary at 3:30 called with hours, so I have Gary's hours for Stormhaven and Daniel, as well as Val's. And then also for Shelley for training for reimbursement for fuel and meals is $182.54.
And then was that Shelley's for 182.54?
Yeah, so the training, yeah, for fuel and meals.
And then Val and Gary?
So Gary had 3 hours for both systems, and then Val had 2.5 for both systems.
They're way under reporting on their hours. Way.
That guy called back, and he's been up there all day, so he's supposedly working on the computer system.
Who's that?
That, Ted Curl.
Oh, Ted Curl for Mirror Mask.
We had problems again, and...
So Ted came up himself?
Chris came down to spend an hour at my computer, and he's like, "You go get you a new computer." And I'm like, "I'm worried the budget isn't good to go do that yet." So, but Ted sent a thing out and said, "I'm coming up at 2:15. But that was only like at 2 o'clock, and I was like, "I hope somebody's going to be there."
That's the last thing you heard?
That's the last I heard.
And I had Gary up there for 3 hours yesterday.
We've asked him many times about that.
Okay, just so you're aware.
Yeah.
Data is not correct.
Okay, I would like to move that we approve the warrants for February 2020, including the additional expenses for Shelley Bunker, 182.54. Also the hours for Val Davis and Gary Walton, reported for the water systems. But with the note that TO had not reported their fees for the month, and that would be in addition to what we've approved today.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second that.
First and second, any other discussion?
Yeah, I don't know that we need to mention TO because it's going to show up on our warrants next month. So it'll be included in this warrant.
Oh, they'll be next. Yeah, he's going to present it
to the next one. So it'll show up on the next warrant. It'll be confusing.
Well, that's true, but I just wanted to make the point that these warrants are less than they should be because they're going to be bigger next month. I just wanted that for the record.
Oh, okay.
So that, you know, we don't go next month, go, whoa.
Perfect. We have that first, and do we have a second?
Yeah, Stephanie seconded it.
We have a second, and we had some discussion. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's approved.
Did you want to?
We don't have anything to fill out these two.
They wanted to talk about the $16 increase, right?
They did. I think we need to see if that is going to be what we're going to end up with, though.
All right.
Any other discussion amongst council? I don't know if we need to go to item number 11 or not. Nothing came up over the weekend that...
We might want to drop into a closed session for pending litigation. I'd like to make the council aware of.
Okay. So, with that being said, Chair will entertain a motion to come out of a public session and go into closed session.
So moved.
And we have a first.
I second that.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So for now, we are in closed session, so we'll thank you and
get your ass out of here.